Whoo, boy, am I energized after talking with Vanessa Zammy today. And I know she knows herself a lot better than I do, but I have a hard time believing she's an introvert. She's the founder of Your Visions Catalyst, and she helps corporate employees figure out who they are, how to manage their time and workload, where to spend their energy, and deeply bringing their full selves to work while feeling safe about doing it. It's no secret that here in the U.S., we have a trend toward workaholism and the huge amounts of stress we subject ourselves to as a result. Whether it's from us feeling that we can't be honest about problems or constantly wondering if we're doing enough, that stress adds up. But there's a different way to work, and Vanessa can help. I personally think if someone like her was in my life earlier, I would have turned out a lot different and felt like I could take more calculated risk. But hey, I'm not living life with regrets here, and if you get in touch with her, you won't regret it either. Find out more about the community she's building at vzammy.com. If you're feeling stuck in your 9-to-5, keep listening for some awesome tips. Up and just have a conversation and find out more about what you got going on with your business. So what does your company do? I did a little bit of looking, but pretend I don't know anything. What's your company do?
Yeah. So what I do is I coach, consult, and advise 9-to-5ers on how to build their profit producing, purpose driven business, even with a demanding day job. And so I serve as like the business coach, lead business coach for Your Visions Catalyst, the name of my consulting company. And I, you know, provide these services in different ways, from a 6-month business accelerator called the Keep It Moving Business Accelerator that I have with clients. And then I also have a free community for people to join, at least right now as we're recording this, as a free community for people to join. Yeah. Skyrocket Your Side Business with Vanessa Zammy is on Facebook. So that's my main marketing platform, is on Facebook. And my team is there to just help people and guide them as well too, as we go through things. And I provide like boot camps and daily tips and workshop, pop-up workshops and all the things to get people moving forward on their business without the overwhelm, without the stress, and to do it, you know, even with all the things that they got going on, family, day job, all the things. Yeah. And that's what I do. So I fix people's hustling by providing them with efficient and effective strategies to get them moving forward in their marketing and time management.
Oh my goodness, girl, your energy is just contagious. I'm just like, bah, 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 you know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I thought I was extroverted.
I'm actually not extroverted, but oh, man, you know,
I did it, yeah, again.
I had to enter when I entered the corporate world. So at first I was going to be a doctor, but then eventually I decided to enter the corporate world, corporate America. And then they were like, oh, you got to network. You got to like put yourself out there. You got to have a picture. So then that's when I transitioned into, I guess, a little bit of extroversion, so to speak. And now I have my business. And so that proved to be really effective.
There we go. You know, I always peg it wrong. I don't think I've ever guessed right that somebody's an extrovert. I still keep thinking, oh, a person who talks, they must be an extrovert. No, actually, this is really draining. And I want to be in a closet and just eat ice cream after this. Like, this podcast is taking a lot out of me. So, well, you're energizing me. I get energized by being around people. So I guess I am an extrovert or an ambivert or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, ambivert, I don't know. I don't know what I am. You know, I'm trying to label myself. I'm the Fritz. That's all we need, right? Well, so you mentioned, you know, at one time you wanted to be a doctor. And funny enough, I used to want to be a doctor too.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, I ended up I really wanted to be like a general practitioner. And then my mom and grandma told me, they say, well, you got to be really good at social studies, and you got to be good at all these courses and stuff in school. And I was in elementary school, and I'm just like, forget that noise. I don't like those. So I just decided, I'm going to get into computers instead. So got to be a huge nerd. But I remember my mom's chiropractor got me a Grey's Anatomy book one time, because I was really like, I knew muscles and bones, and he'd quiz me as he's working on mom's back. And he's like, where's the sartorius? And I'm like, it's right here on the leg. Where's the deltoid? That's the shoulder. And he's like, whoa, this kid knows his stuff. And he got me a Grey's Anatomy, and I still got it. And it's like, man, I was almost a doctor. Dr. Fritz. but here we are. I'm a podcast host, right?
Yeah, and I'm a business coach, you know? I was going to be a neurosurgeon. That was my whole plan. I had a 13-year plan to be a neurosurgeon. It was a whole thing.
So we're both exactly not what we wanted to be when we grew up, and that's okay, because life is about the journey, yo.
Yeah.
Not the destination.
Yeah. And sometimes what you thought you wanted to be is not actually what you wanted to be. It was just influenced by
It is. So, yeah. It is. And that's the cool part about kind of stepping out and just doing all kinds of wild and crazy things, because you think, well, like, why am I doing this? Like, what the heck? But then you look back and it's like, aha, you know, that combined with like seven other things that I didn't know what I was doing turns you into like this awesome, like niche direction that you can go, and like, nobody's going to compete with you, because why the heck would they? It would take them too much effort to go, and you have the passion to keep going forward with it. So rock and roll. Dang.
That is true.
Contagious. This is better than coffee. I need to just get on the phone and be like, Vanessa, juice me up, girl.
Yeah, I don't even drink coffee. It's water.
You don't need to. I do. I'm addicted to the stuff. If I wake up and I don't have, if I've got too much blood in my caffeine stream first thing in the morning, I'm like, I can't. I literally can't even. So, well, how did you decide ultimately to start it up? Because I mean, you were in corporate, and then you're like, eh, I'm gonna do this different thing. Like, what was the catalyst, if you will?
Hey. Well, essentially, there was a few catalyst moments, so to speak, that brought it on. But essentially, to summarize the catalyst moments, I realized that I really didn't belong in corporate America. What does that mean? You know, it was great, you know, amazing work. So I've been working since I was 13 and in various like nonprofit space. And I decided to enter the for-profit space because I was like, oh, like the for-profits are doing it right. Like, so let me learn something from the for-profits and then one day bring it back to the nonprofits. And like, that's what I'm gonna do. Ooh, that was the plan there. Okay, cool. So then I entered corporate America and I was like, this is, okay. And there might be someone listening to this right now where it's like, oh my God, this company's terrible. Your boss is terrible. You're like, okay, no. It's just a company. So then you switch jobs, go to another job. And then you're like, oh no, the company's terrible. The boss is terrible. And it's just like the same cycle, so to speak. And that's really what what it came down to was I realized that it just wasn't for me in terms of, you know, people were expecting me to, you know, be like a yes, sir, yes, ma'am type of person. And I was like, I did not go to Stanford to like not use my brain. I did not study in school to like not use my brain. Like I have an opinion. Like I don't want to like, yes. Like right. I understand that, you know, you want to paint the green, like I need some context. I need a why, like I just, you know, like a thought partnership, you know?
Right.
And so that was part of it. And then the second part of it was I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. So I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. And from that, so I had grown up low income, didn't really know any business owners in my family. And so for me, like I went to Silicon Valley, learned the word entrepreneurship, still didn't think it was for me. I was still trying to be a doctor, you know, and then went to for-profit corporate America space. And then, you know, was like gathering ideas of all these beautiful business ideas. And I was like, ooh la la, your business catalyst is not one of them though. Then I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. And when I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, I was like, OMG, wait a second, hold the phone. Entrepreneurship is like an actual accessible thing, like business building and wealth generation and all that sort of jazz is actually an accessible thing that I can work on. And so from there, that's pretty much how, that's one of the key pivotal moments that happened there. And then I literally a few months later, woke up and your business catalyst was born. I literally like woke up like in the morning, I was in a trance. I don't even know what happened. I was just in a trance. I was like, oh yeah, let me like catalyze people's dreams, catalyze people's vision. Oh yeah, help them arrive at their reality. Yeah, then I'm just typing away. And then like 3 hours later, I like wake up from this trance. Like, and I was like, wait a second, what just happened? Like, what was this? And yeah, your business catalyst was pretty much born. That's pretty much what happened. And then literally in less than, well, that same week, I got like a PO box. And then I like hired a logo designer and then some delays happened there. But like less than a month, the business was up and going. And then it was just, you know, getting people to know about it. That's pretty much what happened there. But that's how your business catalyst was born. And I love it. Yeah, it's great.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So it just, you just kind of blacked out for a little bit and then we're like, oh, but I guess I have
pretty
business
much.
Now.
Oh my goodness.
Holy moly.
Yeah. But then when I reflect on, you talk about those moments in your life that come, those seven pieces of moments that come to your life that you realize all meant for like the right now and all that stuff. Like, you know, I could think of different moments. I mean, there was a moment when my friend was, you know, breaking down in her bathroom, like a couple months, like prior to that, where I've been in LA to visit her and I was doing a whole summit situation. And then she was like, ended up breaking down in her bathroom. Right. And right. I was like, what's up? What's going on? Because she had reached a point where she was trying to do all the things. And so my like peers and my friends, like I'm the person who's always like doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, but they're always asking me, Vanessa, how do you do it? because I'm doing the stuff, but I'm not sitting here like, oh my God, I'm so busy, or oh my gosh, oh, the world is horrible. Oh, like I'm not sitting here stressed out or overwhelmed about all the stuff that I'm doing because right. I'm doing stuff that I actually like to do. But people would always ask me, Vanessa, how do you do it? How do you do it? I never quite knew the answer to that question. Until I woke up that morning with your vicious catalyst. And I was like, OMG. But for her, she had broken down because she was trying to do all the things, right? But she was trying to hustle, so to speak, quote unquote, hustle. Mm-hmm. And for her, it was like saying yes to everything, doing it, but also trying to people please too, and like doing all this stuff. And at some point it just got to her and she was just crying in the bathroom, right? And the thing is that that's just like the sort of people's perception of what hustling is. It's like stay up until 4 a.m. and like get it all done and like just, you know, run off of like all the things that you don't need to run on and all the other stuff. And you don't actually have to do that, right? And so pretty much people were asking me, Vanessa, like, how do you get stuff done, right? How do you get stuff done while looking calm, cool, and collected? And so that's what I teach other people to do as well in their, when doing their business and in making their business happen and in helping them to arrive at their, you know, reality and to make their dreams come true, because there's no reason why you shouldn't, there's no reason why you can't. And it's just a matter of getting the right information and the right tools and resources to get you moving forward.
It absolutely is. And, you know, at the core of everything you said, a lot of people don't even realize that this is a thing that you can do. Cause I came out of corporate, right? Mm-hmm. I started my business for a little bit of a different reason, but, you know, coming from that background, it's like you get to a point where, okay, this is my job. This is my life now. This is normal. And you and I, just between us girls, right? You and I know that sometimes the way corporate works is not normal, right? You get to a point where I'm stuck. I got my back up against the wall. I just have to perform. And the result is you're doing more and more work and you're spending less and less time with your family and you're stressed and you got bills. And oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And you don't realize that there is a better way.
You don't. And I remember I was at the point where, so I had started my first job out of like university was like 2.5 times like my mother salary, what it will ever be, right, in her lifetime. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I made it. Like, you know, I made it. And yet I was like, why can I not pay this rent? What's going on? Like, what's happening? I spoke to like 3 different financial advisors from 3 different companies at the time in different stages. Like I got a raise and I was like, spoke to a financial advisor. And, you know, even before then. And then I remember I switched companies. I got like a 14% salary increase and then spoke to another financial advisor. And at each point, they all told me the same thing. Vanessa, so what you need to do is you need to focus on your retirement first. And then maybe you'll be able to buy that house for your mother. Maybe you'll be able to travel here. Maybe. And it was very much like a pretty much you won't be able to get your goals done with the funds that you have available. And I was like, what? Like, this doesn't make sense. Like, how am I like increasing in funds and yet still not going, like, what? Like, it just didn't make sense to me. Like, and so, and literally, so then after that third advisor appointment, whenever I reached that poor dad, it was like, oh, that's because there's something else I need to be doing. Like there's like multiple income streams, like that whole concept, or the whole concept around, you know, creating your own wealth or being your own boss, all that sort of stuff sort of came into play. And I was like, oh, that's why I have a lot of interest in things. I like doing a bunch of stuff. It's just for me to be able to be CEO of my company where I wear different hats. Oh, I see. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Awesome. So yeah.
Well, it helps to like bolster yourself, right? You know, go like, I can't talk today. I'm trying to say something. The multiple income stream. And I've seen bits and pieces. Like I see the guy on TikTok every once in a while and I follow him. Like, hey, it's the rich dad, poor dad guy. I recognize his glasses. But setting yourself up for success. If you've got multiple income streams instead of just like a job, all your eggs in one basket, all your income coming from one place, it's a lot less stressful. Guess what? If you've got 19 income streams or whatever, and you lose a job, so what?
Yeah.
Right. You know, now think about, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here because you probably tell your clients this all the time. Like, imagine how free you would feel. Imagine how much of yourself you can bring to work. Can you be yourself?
Yeah.
Like you can come to work. You don't have to be a butthole, but you can shoot straight. You can say things truthfully with a heart toward, hey, I'm trying to help you out here. Like, you have me here. You hired me for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I see a problem here. Now we can address it or you can ignore it, sweep it under the rug. But I would feel bad if I didn't say anything. People that are reliant on just one income stream are not, you know, they just say yes to everything. And it leads to a lot of stress.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
It's wild. So have you always been like so crazy, or did that happen as a result of you forming your business? Were you just like, I guess, Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh before you did this? Time to go to work. Like, was that you before?
I would say that was me definitely when I like start. Well, let me put it this way. When I started out, I was not like that. When I started out in corporate America, at least, because I had worked already like 10 plus years in like various professional offices and spaces. Mm-hmm. Like when I started in corporate America, I was not like, oh, let me go to work. Like, because I had been in spaces where, you know, maybe it's because I was younger, they like let me speak my mind. But essentially I had been in spaces where, you know, I felt free to be myself. I felt free to just like, yeah, this is just folks, like, come on, you know, like give advice and all the other stuff, right? And then I enter, and my first job was actually in consulting, where you're supposed to give advice, etc. But the way the teams are structured, you know, you may or may not have your opinion heard. So, but essentially, it's one of those things where I'd say, yes, I was, in a sense, where I was like, when I first started on corporate marketing, I was like, yeah, like, I mean, opinions and all this other stuff. But then what I found, and part of the reason why I realized that the shift needed to change, was I lost myself. Mm-hmm. When I then got deeper into corporate America, I lost myself. And I lost that, you know, confident Vanessa who like walked down the street and just say stuff. And, you know, and, but with like, with reason and tactical. I do think a lot before I speak. But, some might say I think too much, but they don't think I think that much. But I just like think so fast that like, I actually thought a lot, but you didn't think so because I spoke fast. Anyways, but pretty much essentially what ends up happening is that. So in the corporate America space, I did find that I did lose myself. And there was a moment when, and it wasn't that moment precisely, but it was essentially a moment before the moment when I woke up with the Overdose Catalyst. But there was a moment where I was like sitting on a panel, and I like realized, like, and the question on the panel was like, oh, you know, why? I forgot what the question was, but I remember the answer essentially that I gave was that, you know, I realized I had lost myself in corporate America, and I was like sort of on my way of getting back to myself of who the Vanessa like was, but in like a better version, obviously. But definitely my time in corporate America was me silencing myself, or like trying to figure out where to fit in or how to fit in, or like, all, you know, just essentially being something that wasn't me. And it just, it didn't sit right. It didn't feel right. And, you know, obviously it led to some stressors, right? It led to stress, it led to overwhelm, but I didn't see that stress. I thought it was just like, you know, right? But it, at the end of the day, when I look back on it, you know, I was maybe stressed out. I wasn't like, you know, always had the thoughts of stress, but definitely my body and my energy most definitely probably were stressed out, right? In trying to, you know, sit in a certain way, be a certain way, all other stuff, trying to figure out where I fit in, if I fit in, how to fit in, you know, all these things. And at the end of the day, you know, then I started my business, and I was still in the like, ooh, and I started my business while doing my day job. But I did find, like, to your point, Michael, where it's like, to your point in that, you know, when I did eventually like found my groove with my business, Your Vision's Catalyst, while also working my day job, I found myself like getting back to that Vanessa who like has opinions and thoughts, right? I found myself like getting back to the Vanessa who like, yeah, so this isn't work, or like, this is great. And we should also, you know, and all that other stuff, right? And so I just found myself like appreciating work more, if that makes sense, or feeling better about coming to work. One, because it was providing capital to support my business, but two, also, it was just, I was just a better person, like, honestly, I feel like I was just a better employee because I was at the verge of losing myself. And then at some point you know, the business helped me to know there's a reason why I'm here. There's a reason why I'm doing this purpose. There's a reason why I'm still, you know, looking at this Fortune 500 space and like being able to see what does an $8 billion company run like, right? Cause I want to get to that place at some point in my future. So, you know, and so other such things as well too. So I would say it was a yes, I was in the beginning, then I lost myself for like a couple of years, and then got myself back.
Oh my goodness. You know, there's something common across all the things that you listed before about when you lost yourself, right? And it seems, and I felt this pain very acutely in my own career, was when I was focusing on myself more. Like, I was focusing on, like you said, do I fit in? Am I relevant? Are people out to get me? Oh my goodness, do they hate me? I need to work harder, push on the gas more. All right, I'm feeling bad. All right. And the focus was so much on myself that very little of it was being spent on focusing on the employer, or focusing on the company, or the company's bottom line. How is what I'm doing helping them make or save money? I didn't care. I just wanted to make sure that I kept having a job, you know? And it's like, looking back, oh my goodness. And this, first, I mean, that's no way to live. But second, like literally no one was out to get me. Everybody liked me. I was the Fritz. I'm in the office. Hey, you know, he's the test guy. All right, cool. You know, break some software. And it's like, that's what they're paying me to do. But I always felt like it was myself attacking myself. And when I started backing out and getting more of that consultative approach and that business owner mindset, I'm like, I'm here to serve, you know, and maybe this is like stingy information, like, ooh, ow, it stings, but I'm saying it like as a loved one, right? I want to see you be successful. And it's obvious that something you're doing is sucking. Otherwise you wouldn't have called me up. Right. But just having that relationship and then the focus is off of me and it's on them. This is really cool. This is really cool. Some people are going to listen to this and they're going to think, I needed to hear this. I know there's a lot of people stuck in a situation.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, it's, and now some people, like, they may say, oh, does that mean I like quit my job? Like, I should just quit my job. It's like, no. What it means is that you should have a life outside of work. That's really what it means at the end of the day, have a life outside of work. Right. And the thing is that what I find when I focus on people with purpose-driven businesses, the purpose behind that and why I focus on people with purpose-driven businesses are people who then, you know, there's something else that you want to do. You know, there's something more to your life, right? But right now you're sitting here, you're sitting unfulfilled, right? You feel like there's a gap, right? And because you feel like there's a gap, there's a lot of that focus around, okay, do my coworkers like me? Do my boss like me? Am I going to get that good review? Like, oh my gosh, what should I do? And the thing is, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's more so about what is it that you need to make yourself feel better, right? Like, what is it that you need to share with the world that, you know, is going to make you feel like, okay, maybe it's your cooking. Maybe you've always wanted to open up a cafe. Maybe you've always wanted to design t-shirts or design clothes or whatever, or like share people how they can be better at their marketing, whatever it may be. But essentially at the end of the day, it's, there's something there inside of you that's telling you to do something else. Right. Yeah. And so go forth and do that. Right. And don't, instead of being sitting here, like you feel like you need to be stuck, you feel like you need to do this for another 20, 30, 40 years, right? And I think there was a moment when I realized, when I was like doing my whole day job corporate stuff and I switched a company and I was like, and then I had a terrible boss and I was like, wait a second, now there's something else wrong. And it was just like, you know, and it was one of those things where, wait a second, am I gonna have to do this for another like 40, 30 years or whatever? And like the moment hit me and I was like, wait, there must be something else.
Time out.
Wait. Yeah. What did I miss? Universe, give me a sign. Like, you know, I cannot do this for another couple of decades, right? And that's assuming the retirement age stayed the same. But anyways, like, that was the whole situation too. So at the end of the day, it's, you know, there's someone probably listening here where you feel like this is another 20 years for you, another 10 years, another 40 years for you. And because it's what everyone else around you is doing. And the fact of the matter is, it's not, that's because everyone else is doing it, doesn't mean you have to do it too, right? And it's a matter of start, you know, keep your day job, but also try to look for something else outside of that that can help you be better and show up better for not only yourself, but if you haven't already noticed it, but when you feel show up better for yourself, you also show up better for the people around you, right? And that includes your spouse, that includes your kids, that includes your family, right? And that's really what it comes down to, right? It's a holistic process, a holistic, you know, circle in terms of how it is that you're feeding yourself internally, but that also feeds into what it is that you share externally as well too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the saying goes like, you can't pour from an empty cup or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
That's the one?
Yeah.
Or from an empty cup. Mm-hmm. Do you have some marketing collateral that has that already? I didn't come up with that myself. That's not a me thing.
I do not know.
But I had to learn that the hard way. And I am not a quick study, Vanessa. It takes me years to figure finally, like, oh, that's the lesson I'm supposed to learn. It's like, oh my goodness. But looking back, it's like, I've learned so much about myself. I've learned that you can take a lot of risk in life, a lot of perceived risk, and things will work out just fine. I've also learned that fear is a little bit of an illusion. You know, the things that we end up, like when I was in corporate, I was like, holy moly, no way could I ever be a consultant. And then, you know, the narrator says, but he was, right? I mean, my very next job that I had to leave because of the stress level was a consulting job. And I'm like, well, it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be. Yeah. But looking back, it's like, okay, what was I really afraid of? I was afraid of things that weren't actually happening. I was afraid of situations that I had manufactured in my head. And so often we scare ourselves into thinking, oh my goodness, I could never do XYZ because ABC might happen. And it's like, but is it actually happening? I mean, what would be worse if you never took that risk and never stepped out and tried something new, or continue living the life that you have already said you don't like? I mean, I don't know. These days I'm like, do the thing, step off, you know, see what happens, right? I'm almost 40, right? I'm like, I'm halfway through my life. I'm going to take some more risks, right? What have you learned about yourself in all this?
What have I learned about myself? I would say, and actually, fun fact, 60% of business owners are between 40 and 60 years old. Fun fact. But anyways, in terms of what have I learned about myself, I'd say through this process, that is a great question. That's a great question. Let's see, well, I got back into, you know, the confident self. I would say I learned, or I don't know if it's a learned or it's an appreciation, but I definitely developed more of an appreciation for my many interests that I had throughout life. In terms of, you know, there was a moment where, you know, they tell you from, you know, maybe from the time that you're five, choose something, do one thing. Like, what is it that you're going to do? This one thing, like choose. And I was like, but I like everything. I just like learning. Like, can I just learn everything? and they were like, no, you got to choose something. And then I actually went to consulting as my first corporate job. And it was like general manager consulting. So you kind of just went on different projects. Like, I worked with a nuclear manufacturer. I also worked with like a consumer packaged goods company. But with different, you know, spaces, from, you know, supply chain to finance, all that jazz. And then at some point they were like, okay, people, it's time for you to choose. And I was like, can I just do everything? Can you just put me in everything? I don't get it. But through this journey of entrepreneurship, I essentially appreciate, and I now like learn that, you know, there was a reason why I had an interest for many different things. There's a, you know, it's a blessing, not a curse, so to speak. And like, it's not a, you know, you had to be this one work driver and this one thing with this one. And it's definitely a way for me to navigate the world from that perspective, in terms of being, you know, liking different things and doing different things, but still focusing, because that's a key part of its business. Still focusing, like, let's not get that twisted. So that I'll say would be learning myself. Yeah. But I'll say, really, especially to summarize it, I learned that I was always meant to be an entrepreneur. I just never knew it. That's what I learned about myself. I was meant to be an entrepreneur. I just never knew it. You know, I just didn't have that information in my toolbox, so to speak. I just never knew it. But I'd say I definitely learned I was meant to be an entrepreneur. Yeah.
You didn't know that was even a thing, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know what drives me nuts is that people try to pigeonhole, you know, kids. Like, what do you got to be when you grow up? You got to pick a thing, just like you said, right? And it's like, now hold on a second. We are constantly changing. And you're trying to tell me that as a kid whose brain is not fully formed until he's 25 or 27 years old, it sounds terrible. I got married when I was 27. My wife must be like, you don't have a fully formed brain yet. What the heck? We're supposed to pick something that we're going to do for like the rest of our working lives. And we're going to be changing through that duration. And we're going to that's just going to work. I don't see how this plan could ever succeed. And I hope that this idea, like what you're talking about, is something I'm seeing more happening, where people are kind of like, they're open, you know, people learn different ways. They have different ways of learning, you know, seven or nine schools of thought. Like, how do you learn? Right. Mm-hmm. And every kid's different, you know, but everybody's got value. Everybody's got some amazing skills and super mutant powers. Yeah. And the more you learn about yourself, the more effective you are. And really your measure of success is how many people's lives you can touch, I think. So if we come to work like that and say, okay, how many lives can I touch today, instead of, oh my goodness, how am I going to, you know, it ends up being a whole lot.
It does. Yeah. It does. So, I remember when I was 8 years old, I think it was. Yeah, I was 8 years old in Brooklyn, New York, in front of the TV. And essentially it was, you know, there were lots of, during this particular week, there was a lot of news things, you know, things repeat in the news on just like this kid getting shot, this kid, you know, being found in a playground, this kid going missing, all this other stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this could be me. Like, you know, I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't be me. It's in the same neighborhood, around the same age, like, this could be me. And I remember I just had this moment of thinking that it made me think about my funeral and like, okay, when I die, what's going to happen? And then I was like, okay, when I die, what do I want to happen? Like, who do I want to be there? Like, what do I want people saying about me? And that's what got me on the whole, like, you know, I want people, I just want to like do some good in the world. I just want people to be like, you know, I want strangers to come to the funeral and be like, Vanessa actually helped me. And like, you know, family members meeting strangers who like say that I like impacted their lives in some sort of way. Remember, yeah. I had that thought back when I was like 8, and then, you know, it still stayed with me for a couple years. And then I was like, okay, doctor, da 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 da. And then I realized that essentially, you know, more recently, though, the past like year or two, I realized that, oh wait, like this is like your vision's catalyst and the empire that I'm building with other, like that is how I'm making this happen. And it's one of those, just like those full circle moments in life, so to speak.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, what a unique perspective. And it makes me think, it's like, okay, who do I want at my funeral? And my family, for sure. Like, I want them there. They better be there or they're going to be in trouble. And Elon Musk, because why the heck not? You know, maybe I could impact and be like, he was a pretty cool guy. I'm going to show up to his funeral and I'm going to eat the potato salad. That'd be cool. Of course, I wouldn't be there to see it, but I'll be like, that's awesome. Oh my goodness. My goodness. Well, it has been awesome talking with you. I felt pretty good for a Monday when I started this podcast, but dang girl, I feel even better. You, for an introvert, you sure pump people up. Let me tell you.
Thank you.
You've got a gift. Well, how would people find you? I mean, because I think people listening to this, they're going to listen and they're going to think, is she talking about me? Like, is my camera on? Like, is she talking about me? And probably not, but there's a lot of people that have these problems. Mm-hmm. How would they reach out to you to find out more?
Yeah. So if you would like to continue connecting, you're welcome to join our community of other 9-to-5ers who are building their profit producing purpose driven business. And the way to access that community is you go on vzami.com. So V, then my last name, zami.com. So V, and then what I tell the customer service people, V, then Z for zebra, A for animal, M for money, Y.com.
There we go. I love it. It's almost something like what I got to do with my last name. It takes me a little bit longer, but you know, we'll get there. Come on, yeah. Telemarketer, you know, be patient. So awesome. Awesome. Well, it's been amazing talking with you. And I think this is something that we maybe ought to talk about again sometime, because there's some things in here about mindset and mental toughness and time management and stuff that I think the world needs to hear. But for now, I'll let you hop off and let you get back to your likely wildly efficient day. You're probably already done. You're like, I got done at 4 a.m, Fritz. Like I'm just cruising, living the life. I'm jealous.
Oh man. Yeah. I was actually sleeping at 4 a.m. I was sleeping at 4 a.m. Yeah.
Oh, were you? Are you doing the 5 o'clock wake up thing? Like entrepreneurs, all the cool kids that are entrepreneurs wake up at 5 a.m.
You know, listen, I define my coolness. If I had lived my life for it to doing what other people were doing, I would probably be like, had a teenage mother, like probably like, who knows what I would be right now if I was out here, like, let me do what cool kids are doing, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Like, no, I run my own race, you know? And yeah. I just do my own thing and I do what works for me. And that's what I would say.
Yeah. Well, it takes a lot of bravery to run your own thing and to notice when the world is trying to get you to conform and you just say, nah, we're just not going to do that. We're mutants, Vanessa, you and I and millions of other entrepreneurs. Well, I'll let you get back to the rest of your day and appreciate your time and looking forward to getting this pushed up. All right.
Yeah. Pleasure having you. Pleasure being here. I'd say thank you.
All righty. Well, take care. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.